This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Some wonderful Carabao Cup action. Us advancing over the mighty Rochdale FC.
The Dale.
On penalties. The Dale. Not the most convincing performance, but hey, we move on with our second string and moving on to Arsenal.
Yeah, look, a lot of fans getting really upset here. You know, Twitter, everything. I mean, Twitter is probably just a negative Nancy in general. But, you know, a lot of fans slating that performance, given we are Manchester United, given the odds there to win and the fact that we are facing a League One side in the Dale, I would say you'd like for us to score a few. A lot of chances, but again, there are some things that are kind of plaguing this United side, right? We look like a bunch of world-class players playing as individuals, not really as a team. You know, the structure and attack, how you deal with possession in the final third, looking for the right chance, a lot of long shots, speculative stuff from Manchester United, trying to get in behind, not really building anything up or triangle play, really beating a man one-twos and getting the ball inside the box where, you know, higher percentage scoring chances, well, right?
I mean, we did have our chances, but it's more the same, right? Us not taking our chances, which is going to ultimately punish this team, right? If you have your chances, you have to take them, especially against a team like Rochdale. Should have been a couple up in the first half.
I mean, a few headers, but I mean, like, there weren't real, the chances we had were a lot of shots outside the box, right? I mean, we didn't really beat a man, get in one-on-one on the keeper. It was very much so like, you know, crosses in, headers not on. I mean, Pogba had the sitter, but just our overall attack isn't clicking for a lot of reasons, right? I mean, Dan James came in and we looked a little better, but again, we're putting all of our, like Roy Keane said, putting all of our eggs on Dan James. Little kid came from Swansea.
Expected a lot out of the young lad, you know? And he's performed up to the challenge very well. But yeah, you got a lot of players that are just trying to get some minutes. Jones, Twanzabe, Rojo, Fred got a feature. It wasn't the most convincing performance, but ultimately you advance in the Carabao Cup. We're going moving on to Chelsea next at Stamford Bridge. Big game. That's going to be a lot tougher than Rochdale FC, the Dale. Not a ton of positives, but we got the victory. It's all that matters.
I know. I agree. But you think our attack is, I'm trying to look at
we
it from the perspective.
Issues, sir. We have major issues in attack.
Pogba,
we shouldn't have given up the goal.
I mean, when Fred's shooting from 35, Pogba's shooting from 35. I mean, their shots are so off. They're like twice the height of the goal. And those are our chances in this game. And we're talking about Rochdale, FC Rochdale. It's like we got to be holding the ball in the final third, everyone working together as a unit, looking for pockets of space, playing one-twos. I'm just not seeing an elite attacking side that has any chemistry. I see a lot of, hey, let's try to get in behind. Let's play the long ball. There's some crosses in the box. That was better, but we don't have a target man like Lukaku. So it's kind of strange. Now we're looking for the crosses without a target man at number nine. And I just see a lot of individual great players with no real attacking system. Defending, totally fine. Just going forward, when teams are intent to defend, like we've said on this podcast a million times, we got nothing. And even if it's the Dale, we got nothing. And so when we play Arsenal, play Chelsea, these are going to be tough matches to try to score goals.
This is the 16th place team in League One, and we were only able to score one goal against them at home. At home. So this team is not firing on all cylinders for sure. A lot of these players are not going to feature when we play against Arsenal, but it's still worrying. Paul Pogba should be bossing this team, right? Having an absolute gem of performance, assists and goals all around. And he just looked all right.
Yeah, I just don't think we're working together as a team. So you can't even get the best out of Paul Pogba when every time Pogba gets the ball, he has to do something, create something individually. When Greenwood gets the ball, he has to create something individually to score that goal. We saw that. This is the second game where we saw that, including FC Astana. Like, no one is working together as a team, playing those passes, using triangles to create space and opportunities for their other teammates. It's more of, hey, Chong, we'll kick it up to you. Try to beat a man, get in on one-on-one. Greenwood, we'll put it on your feet in the box, beat a man, score a goal. Pogba tried to do a long bomb from outside, score a banger. There's no real cohesion in attack, and it's coming through when you're playing lower insides like FC Rochdale. So we can slate the boys all day. We can slate the attack all day at Manchester United. You know, our motto is attack, attack, attack. Haven't been seeing much of that lately.
At least it used to be. Used to be attack, attack, attack. Now it's just, I don't know, pass, 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 pass back, pass back, pass back.
No, this isn't even LVG. I don't even know what we're watching right now. It's just kind of FC Sunday League, baby. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at right here. A lot of all-stars trying to do too much individually. But let's jump in the lineup. Let's break it down. Romero in net. Sergio Romero, he's the best backup keeper in all the land, I would say.
Right.
Wan-Bissaka, can't sit him. Twanzebe, Jones, Rojo, Fred and Pogba midfield two. Pereira on the right, Lingard at number 10, Chong on the left, and Greenwood at number 9. I do like that front four, if you will, and Lingard in the hole. That should come good, but apparently, and with Pogba behind, you know, we've been waiting for Paul P. He's got the new haircut, sir. What'd you think of this lineup?
Hey, I mean, I was excited to see Twanzebe feature again and get the captain's armband for the first time, so congratulations to him on that. Ultimately, it's the team that you have available. We are relying on a 17-year-old striker to be our number one target man, and that is a big expectation to put on the young lad's shoulders, who's just coming onto the team, just getting some minutes underneath his legs, and, you know, he looked like he had no problem taking on the pressure.
Yeah, coming back from tonsillitis at that, and it's funny, when Greenwood goes down with tonsillitis, we're sweating, so to have him back is huge. Martial did not get the nod, still injured. I'm hoping he can make it back for Monday against Arsenal. Let's jump in first half. United were clearly the better team. No one's going to dispute that. Lots of chances, but like I said, a lot coming from outside the box, not a lot of link of play leading to, you know, high probability opportunities on goal. The best chance I would say is the Pogba header in the 35th minute. Someone's got to tell Pogba the header's got to go down. I don't know what he's floating it that high. I mean, look, he hasn't played in a while, so you would like for him to get that goal, right?
It would have been a goal that probably changed the outcome of this game. It probably would have been much more in control if we were to sneak an early goal in the first half. Great ball from Greenwood. You know, Pogba should be finishing that. It found him perfectly.
Sir, you can
in the box.
That. I mean,
that's hard to say. I probably couldn't get up that high.
He was wide open.
But he should have scored. And if he scored, it would have changed the game. And you could see in his face that he was disappointed, wanted to get the goal. Need him to step up and score a big goal against Arsenal then.
Yeah, I mean, Pogba, I dropped him from my fantasy team a long time ago for those reasons. 40th minute, Greenwood, he had a great chance, but the Rochdale keeper was up to the task. That was a great shot from Greenwood. He looked sharp. I do rate the kid, and I think the more minutes we see out of him in the number 9 position is where he thrives, I think. And I actually do hope that he can play more there. And, you know, if Martial's not ready, hey, we're going to have to play him at Arsenal. 43rd minute. This time it's Lingard with the chance after a good ball in from Aaron Wan-Bissaka, but Lingard is dying, mate. He doesn't look good. I don't know what happened with him over the offseason. There's all that controversy around the social media, and he comes back terrible. Worse than he was. You know, it's
hasn't been scoring, hasn't been assisting, hasn't been moonwalking. There just hasn't been a lot of there with Jesse Lingard recently. I think his attitude's picked up. There's been less tweeting, less Instagramming, but we need to see the performance on the pitch. He always does get up for an Arsenal match. So
this is true.
If he's likely to feature, which I think he will based on who we have available, hopefully he can, you know, channel his inner hate for the Gunners and put up a big performance because we need it.
Okay, going in at first half, sir, what do you think the boys got from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
So you got to do more. You got to do more with the ball. You got to be more direct in attacking and go at Rochdale. You know, create better chances and take them because this team plays in League One, for crying out loud. We should be just handling them, even with our second squad. So I think he was not super pleased about the chances that went missing, telling him that you got to make it up in the second half.
Yeah, I think we were cheap with the ball too. A lot of the opportunities, like I alluded to, is like, you know, long speculative shots from outside the box. That's cheap. It's like we have the ball. in the final third, we have to do more with it, right? Ole, get into better space, get Greenwood the ball, feed Greenwood. That has to be the theme of what Ole was saying, because he had some chances, but not as much as he... And look, in the second half, Greenwood, you know, he gets the ball. You never know. Second half sub, Brandon Williams comes on for Phil Jones. Shocker, he was injured there. Phil Jones going down. But look, Brandon Williams, a youngster, getting that call. Absolutely love this move from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, trying to get... give youth a chance, right?
Brandon Williams slotted in a left back. Rojo pushed in to center back, and I think he did a pretty good job in the left back position. Might be coming for Luke Shaw's position if he's not too...
That is up for grabs. Yeah, Luke Shaw is definitely eating some meat pies, putting on pounds right now. 52nd minute, Bissaka clears the ball off the line. United get away with one here. Ole, shot to Ole on the bench, just sweating. I feel like I've seen this movie too many times this year where Ole just looks like out of his depth on the bench. Again, a lot of criticism for the manager, probably rightfully so. Can't get this team to be able to beat the Dale, right? I mean, when you're looking at Manchester United 0-0, FC Astana, same thing. It's just one of those, we got to be able to, we're professionals. I mean, they're professionals. I am a professional podcaster as well, I guess you could say that. But it's they got to show up and do the job. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be look great. I mean, you definitely have a lot of players in who would normally play, you know, at Arsenal, but you got to do the job, right? It's like the team, the Dale know they're going to get beat. Everyone that, basically the fans show up just to see us win. You know, they're just looking to be entertained. And when 0-0 in the 60th minute, we're dying. And that's when Ole decides to bring in, all right, we have to go to our number one man right now, Dan James from Swansea, mate, on 17 mil. Who knew our whole team would revolve around Dan James at this stage in the season? I couldn't have predicted. No one could have predicted that.
He couldn't have predicted that. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm sure he believes in his own self-worth. He's turned out to be a great player, but it's unbelievable that we are turning on Dan James, who I don't even think Ole wanted to feature. Wanted to probably save him for the Arsenal game because he figured, hey, second half of Rochdale will be rolling. We could put in some of the other kids.
Little damning
of our bench squad, the fact that we have to keep relying on the young lad. But hey, he came in and looked pretty good.
Yeah, I know he came in, looked great, but like Keane said, he's like, the whole team, Manchester United, $3.8 billion, is leaning on the Welsh youngster for $17 million, Dan James, which is absolutely insane. But look, he came on, he changed the dynamics of the game, and you know what, like I said, get Greenwood the ball in the box, sir.
To Pereira, Greenwood onto his left. Greenwood! Not a problem for Mason Greenwood. Whatever the competition, he scores. Mason Greenwood from his right foot to his left, drilled it home. And Rochdale's brave resistance.
The emphatic call from MUTV. Great goal by Mason Greenwood again. He knows how to finish. Get him the ball inside the box. I'm saying, look, he's got number 9 written all over him. I think he should be number 2 in the depth chart. Rashford, left winger, son. Own the left wing, right? Him left and
wing,
James.
Left wing, right wing. Put him on the right wing. Put Dan James on the left. Greenwood is just a natural number 9. Finish on his left, finish on his right. He's proper two-footed footballer. So I think we're going to see a lot more of him. Not even with injuries. He's necking his way up that Gantt chart for competition because he's a hell of a player.
Yeah, and we were rewatching the highlights, or at least I was earlier today, getting prepared for the pod, you know, taking some notes. And one of the highlight videos, I'm sure all you American Red Devils fans know, is in a different language, or maybe it's in half in English, then it switches to a different language. That MUTV call, the goal, is very anticlimactic. And I actually got a Japanese audio clip, basically an audio of the Greenwood goal. Thought I had to share it with you guys. Absolutely unbelievable call from the Japanese announcers. I have no idea what they're saying.
Let's hear it.
I have no idea what they're saying. Manchester United.
I got that one. Manchester United, right? And Mason Greenwood. Those are the two things I can take home.
Dude, the energy from the Japanese broadcasters. MUTV needs to spice it up a little bit. You need a little more punchy calls. I couldn't just let that Greenwood goal be recorded on this podcast. It's just like, and Mason Greenwood with a great, great shot there.
Well, you know.
From MUTV.
That's the reason they work for MUTV, sir, not for Sky Sports.
Yeah, I don't really rate
Sky Sports Japan.
I mean, look, I don't mind MUTV, but the crew is kind of it needs a refreshing, right? It seems like they've been there for
state TV, mate. Let's be honest. They're working for the man. Look, they get paid by the Glazers. They're towing the party.
No, I know they could use some. They're trying to like get some youth in there, freshen them up. But I they're a little too.
I don't know. They got a youth. They got the same group. Well,
they brought in Statman Dave. They brought in a few guys, but like at the end of the day, they need to spice up a little bit, loosen the ties at MUTV. Look, we only could enjoy that goal for what, 7 minutes, sir? The Dale were not done at Old Trafford.
It's clipped across towards that far post, and the young right back's coming in and scores. Luke Matheson, the 16-year-old, equalizes for League One Rochdale.
Luke, I'm your father. Amazing stuff. He did it. I mean, the 16-year-old, he looked great. Kind of a fluke ball, I'm going to say. I'm going to kind of write this goal off a little bit tactically from a defensive perspective. It kind of great one-touch finish. What can you do?
I mean, good finish from the young lad. He had a good performance all game, played really well. Hey, we should be at that far post defending. Shouldn't even let him get in the shot. But here we are, 1-1 to Rochdale, headed to penalty, sir.
Yeah, it was a composed touch, though. You have to give the 16-year-old credit. He did step up and finish it at Old Trafford. Look, we went to penalty shortly after that. And like you said, the order went to Mata, Pereira, then Romero, big save, Fred scores, Greenwood scores, and then it was all up to who, sir? Who are we relying on here at Manchester United? Who's the man?
It's got to be the Welshman.
Oh, the Welshman stepping up to the spot. And what is it? What do you think? What do you think he does, sir? What do you think?
Well, I think he's got a panache for scoring.
James finds the corner, a terrific finish. And Manchester United, with a perfect penalty shootout, are through to the fourth round of the League Cup.
Oof, Ole's face says it all, sir. He was like, that was nervy.
We are through to the fourth round. Amazing stuff. We did quick finishing up the match. 84th minute, there was the Mata for Lingard sub. That's why I came and took the penalty. And then we just went straight to pens. United advance on penalties against FC Rochdale. Fans erupt. The internet was... A lot of slating fan cams, a lot of everyone kind of the same thing. Everyone's just mad. They just don't know where to, you know, direct their anger. They're mad at the team not playing well. Is it the manager? Who is it, sir?
It's a lot of frustration. I think it should all be directed at the board. You know, first and foremost, they're the side that's most culpable for our lack of fortitude on the field because Ole wasn't backed in a serious way this summer like he should have been. You know, we had positions that we sold that we didn't replace, big ones and strikers and two of them that we lost. Midfielders that we didn't replace. You know, everyone's frustrated with Ole. We didn't score, blah, blah, blah. We didn't perform well. But at the end of the day, it's about the owners. It's about him being backed properly than he hasn't been. So if you're going to do anything, I go Glazer out. That's where I stand.
Yeah, and that's where any fan, if you take a step back, look, watching the team right now is not... I mean, I like at least Ole is giving the kids a chance, right? So your kids are going to develop over time. We win. You play a lot of youth. It's not the end of the world. Clearly, you look at Chong, Greenwood, Lingard. I mean, he acts like he's 19 years old. You're going to need... They're going to need some time. So the fact they can get game time and we can win against Rochdale, hey, with all the injuries we got, that's not too bad. But what a Manchester United manager's bread is buttered is against Arsenal, right? We lose big. Any embarrassing, you know, like a Chelsea drubbing, like we drub Chelsea, if Chelsea drub us like that, that's when the heat's going to be on Ole. Right now, it's kind of like, you know, it's Carabao Cup, not too worried about it. You lose big to an Arsenal, lose big to Liverpool, that's when it's going to hurt.
There are going to be some big losses this year. If you just look at the squad we have, it's inevitable.
How dare you?
I love this squad, sir. I you know, I could predict every game that we'd roll 4-0, but we are going to get beat up a couple times with this team, the thinness you have in the squad.
But our defense is better.
The midfield has still got some holes in it that need to be filled. I mean, leave something to be desired. If Pogba doesn't feature, there's not a lot going in that midfield.
Okay, this is true, but I do think that A, it's early, and B, our defense and our midfield, if you look at Matic in form, McTominay in form, Pereira playing well, and Pogba, like clearly Pereira is playing on the right, right wing, which is where he's not supposed to play. But if you take into account those four midfielders healthy, that's a solid midfield. It's really the attack that's the issue. We can't score a goal if our life depended on it. That's the one thing and we could fix that in January with a target man.
I mean, the midfield hasn't always come together this season. If they're on form, yeah, and they're all playing well, then it's not a problem, but they haven't been. There's been some on and off performances. McTominay's on, Matic is off, Pogba hasn't featured. It's just, it hasn't provided the link up that you need. We don't have a number 10.
No, I'm saying, okay, I would say the midfield too has been decent, but it's the number 10 that's been the issue. So we're talking about the midfield. You got to break it up between who's playing like 8, who's playing 10. And I would say you're right. It's probably the attacking 4, including the 10, that has been the issue for Manchester United. The fact Ole doesn't really change the formation either doesn't help, because you're always having the McTominay-Matic combination. Pogba's always playing a little deeper. That's why I think he has to change things up tactically, because he's kind of putting these pegs in the wrong hole to a certain extent, and we should be a little more flexible in how we're playing with Paul P, getting him forward, maybe playing him at 10 or playing him a little on the left on a 4-3-3. I think these are dynamics that I'd like to see out of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer instead of just 4-2-3-1.
Certainly likes that formation, doesn't he?
4-2-3-1. I mean, it's crazy. Match recap, possession, United 65% of the ball, no surprise there. Shots on target, United 8 to Rochdale's 2. So they converted 50% of their shots on target. There you go. Sir, what do we know? Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I'm sure he has a perfectly good reason why we lost this game.
Did we lose?
If you want to win it, you have to beat the best. We played them first game of the season this year. We played them in the Cup, FA Cup last year. So, and it slots nicely into a couple of weeks with loads of travelling.
Belgrade, Norwich, Chelsea and Bournemouth. Nice to fix your computer, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But that's, you know, that's how it is. And we've got to make the best out of it. And I'm sure we are, because that's the type of group this is. That's the type of club we are. We're not going to say, we're going to relish it and look forward to it.
Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. You know what's good there, sir? They mentioned Bournemouth. Bournemouth away.
We'll be there. Hey,
the American
hey.
Red Devils will be in the away section in Bournemouth on the South Coast, sir. It's going to be freezing.
I hope the weather's shit.
Hope it's rainy.
The worse, the better.
Cold. It's going to be a noon kickoff in the UK. It's going to be a hell of a trip down to the South Coast, but we will be sitting with the Manchester United, the best fans in the world, singing our hearts out, cheering them on at Bournemouth. And look, we're going to be, what, 5 on the trot, 6 on the trot by then, sir? It's going to be always at the wheel. How does it feel? You're rocking,
flying, sir. Again. Yeah, well, Pogba coming back in. Martial featuring again.
We're going to beat Arsenal. We're going to beat Liverpool.
Sir, it could be very dark these days. It could be very dark on the South Coast. Stormy beyond the weather.
All I know is those are the hard courts, because quite a trip from Manchester down to the South
Coast. From London, mate.
Yeah, exactly. About a 2.5-hour train. But you know what? I feel for Ole. I hope he can weather the storm. I think everyone be calm as it relates to calling for his head. Like you said, there's more at play here. The Glazers, the ownership, Woodward, you know, they had the big conference call with Wall Street, record revenues. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But fans can't take their eye off the ball. This club needs investment. And I do think, for whatever it's worth, they're listening to the fans. And I'm going to say we buy number 9 in January. Number 9 or number 10, if possible, I think they're going to spend money and get someone. Unfortunately, everyone knows we're going to spend money, and they're just going to just ring us for cash.
Hey, we got plenty of it, sir. We got cash coming out of our ears. I was listening to Ed Woodward's call, bro. There is plenty of money to go around to pay for a new striker and then some. But hey, I think the most important thing,
selling a lot of snakeskin shirts from Adidas.
The most important thing is we got to stay patient with Ole, right? I think you have to give him time. We can't be so reactionary. The problem is with modern day football, modern day anything, is that it's 24-hour news cycle. So it's, you lose a game and it's just everyone off of your heads. And we need to just slow our roll.
We didn't even lose.
Like, I know, but people acting like we got rolled.
I had a Freudian slip. It felt like a loss, right?
People were acting like we lost.
You know, exactly. I felt like we lost. How is Ole going to explain the loss? And we actually won. That's what's insane. But I mean, winning to a League One side on penalties is almost like a loss, sir. Almost like a loss. But speaking of next matches, we have a hell of a match. This is a great one. Manchester United versus Arsenal, Old Trafford, Monday, September 30th at noon Pacific. I'll be watching this from Hawaii. Not a bad spot to watch a game, sir.
Lucky you, sir. Sounds good.
Not bad. A little baby moon action going on here at the American Red Devils podcast. Got to get the wife some R&R.
Got to keep her happy, bro. Priority number one, even above United.
Yeah, so we're going to be dealing with the audio setup as best as we can, but I'm going to be like calling in, and Alex isn't really the sound engineer here, so we're going to do everything we can to get this pod up while I'm on vacay.
Well, bear with us, because it's hopefully it's a barn burner performance to break down. We just absolutely roll them on the counterattack.
It's set up.
But I think it might be a tight matchup, sir.
It is, but both managers kind of, you know, there's some controversy going on. Both clubs haven't hit their stride, right? This is one for the taking, a big match for both these teams that have kind of done well and then struggled early, like Arsenal, Unai Emery, people want to call for his head. He's had some more time, some more transfer windows. They definitely have more attacking options than United at the moment, but I like the storyline of this fixture where whoever can win it, I think will go a long way to kind of fueling their tank and confidence level this season. United, obviously, big rival for Arsenal. Been a while, though, since we fought them for the title. We played 54 times in the Premier League era, winning 24, losing 14, and tying 16. We've had their number thanks to the greatest manager of all time, Sir Alex Ferguson. United have only won two of the last five matchups, one draw, two losses. That is a tough, dude, against Arsenal, two of the last five, and they did murk us last season and took top four. They murked us, kicked us out of top four. Chelsea then murked them, got to top four. So there was some musical chairs, but our downfall was the Arsenal loss after we had beat them in the FA Cup. So, you know, it has been, we haven't really had their number guaranteed. Arsenal currently sit in fourth place with 11 points, while United are in eighth with 8 points. Huge game. We win it, we're tied with Arsenal. That's sad anyway. On any day, any given day, you don't want to be tied with Arsenal. You want to be beating them. Arsenal were founded in 1886. The Woolwich Munition Workers founded the club as Dial Square. And this is obviously in London. In 1913, the club crossed the city to Arsenal Stadium in Highbury, becoming close neighbors of Tottenham Hotspur and creating the North London Derby. In 2006, they moved to the nearby Emirates Stadium. Been to the Emirates a few times. Don't really rate the stadium. Don't really rate the club. The fans are the most plastic fans you could ever see. I mean, I went to the old Tottenham Stadium. I went to some of the pubs. You know, I'm an EPL tourist. I'll go to any team. Like, we went to Watford as well. And the softest of the soft are Arsenal fans.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. At least Tottenham, you know, they kind of get a little salty up there in North London, mate.
They certainly have recently. They've had more to cheer about than Arsenal has, you know, even though they haven't won any silverware. But Arsenal has a special type of plastic fan, sir. It's like the softest of London decides to gravitate around the Gunners.
Chelsea might be up there, but Chelsea, they're like the posh. Arsenal is kind of like the not posh but soft Londoner who just wants to go and watch their team win. Jumping into a quick tactical overview, I looked at Unai Emery, the matches this season against EPL opposition. He's apparently a tactical genius. He played the 4-2-3-1 against Aston Villa, the 4-4-2 diamond against Watford, and the 4-3-3 against Tottenham. They came back against Aston Villa. They tied Watford, and they lost to Tottenham. So he's all over the board. I don't think he knows his starting 11 per se, or they're his best team, similar like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They don't have nearly as many injuries as we do. So I don't know how they're going to show up. I think he's probably going to play a 4-3-3. He's going to feature Aubameyang down the middle and then Pepe on the right. And so you're going to see, I looked at the heat maps of their last couple of matches, and their attack primarily features with Aubameyang and Pepe off the right-hand side. It's going to go after Ashley Young, Aaron Maguire, and maybe McSauce or Pogba if he's playing there. So you have our attack featuring on the left. We're exposed. Arsenal is going to come try to counterattack on that same side.
That's what you got Ashley Young for, mate. The best defender in the world.
Exactly. So it's kind of one of those things where that side of the pitch is going to be critical for Manchester United versus Arsenal. So if you watch that, you can see who's winning that battle defensively or offensively. That's kind of where, and then Dan James will be featuring on that side as well. So it'd be that's really the matchup I'm excited to look at. And hysterically, Arsenal acquired David Luiz. They need him to shore up the defense. Even he's the greatest Brazilian joker of all time. he's good for shitty goals away from home. So I'm looking for David Luiz for a defensive error. The opportunity for Manchester United tactically, one opportunity is to jump the short goal kicks. Arsenal's have trouble with that. With David Luiz at the back, I think Dan James running riot, Greenwood or Martial trying to press them on that goal kick. We can create some opportunities, hopefully some hysterical errors from David Luiz. For Manchester United, I think Ole needs to play the 4-3-3 he needs to put Pogba, you know, push him up a little bit on the left-hand side. So instead of playing two holding midfielders, you play one with Pogba and maybe Pereira. And that's how we're going to get the best of our attack, because Pogba needs to be getting forward on that left-hand side, running into the box, creating chances. That's something that we haven't seen to date, and clearly coming back from injury, it's something we hope to see from Paul P. Looking at the game and from a holistic perspective, Arsenal have the advantage in attack, right? They got the pace. They have the finishers in Pepe and Aubameyang. And Manchester United, we have the advantage in defense. So some people calling it's going to be a barn burner. I think it might be, you know, nil-nil, something a little more boring. The timing of the first goal will dictate this entire game. So if it's 0-0 in the first half, United's defense, bend, don't break, try to bang him on the counterattack. I don't know, sir. What do you think?
No, I think it's going to be a tied down kind of match. I don't think it's going to be very open. I think both teams are going to play a little nervous, a little bit reluctant to expose themselves too much by pressing too many players forward. So I think it can be like a 1-0 kind of result, or go 0-0 as a draw. But it's going to be an interesting match to watch, sir. We've got a lot to play for, and we love beating the Gunners.
It's kind of like two wounded animals showing up for a fight. You know, it's like, I do think that Unai Emery knows he needs a big win, and I think he might go for it. Right, tactically, I'm thinking that Arsenal is probably going to try to, they're going to like, look, we think United are vulnerable, they're weak, let's like hit them 100%, hit them in the mouth. Then that might play into our counterattacking style, right? I don't know, but if I was a poker player, I think Unai Emery knows he needs a big win. They barely snuck out a comeback win against Villa. And, you know, for him to come to Old Trafford and attack, I think is what the Arsenal fans are going to want to see. So I think, and he's going to look at his attacking and say, look, if these guys let me down, I'm happy to lose. And that might be the calculus for Unai Emery. Count Chocula, if you will. He's the most hysterical looking manager in the entire Premier League. Don't really rate him too much, sir.
Not your favorite, huh?
Jumping in the physio room, buy out long term. Same with Fosu Mensah. Rashford, he had that groin injury. They're looking at maybe early to mid-October. No update really on that. Delo, he is out as well. Gomez, God, I haven't seen Gomez on the list. Luke Shaw, Martial. Sir, that's it. I think Martial's probably going to be back. I have him in on my side. Martial's really the question mark for Manchester United. Can he make it back? Other than that, I think everyone else is pretty much ruled out.
There you go.
Sir, what is your starting 11?
Sir, I got David De Gea in net. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Twan Zabi. That's my big change. Benching Lindelof and playing the kid at center back. Maguire and then Young, and then a midfield three of Fred, McTominay, and Pogba, and a front three of Lingard, James, and Mason Greenwood. Who else? Our number nine, our bang on
no
starter.
No Martial.
He's not ready yet, sir.
Damn. And Fred, you're getting Fred in there after
Why
that
not?
Abysmal performance. Fred has not played well, sir.
He played all right.
He looked pretty bad against the Dale there. Dave saves the net. Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Young. I like how you put Twan Zabi in there. I think he's going to get a rest. This is where I'm going for the only one CDM, not two. I'm saying McTominay is going to play the holding midfielder. Pereira and Pogba will play in the two. Pogba on the left, Pereira on the right. Greenwood on the right, James on the left, and Martial at number nine. So much more all in attacking side. I think that would be awesome to watch. Don't think Ole's going to play that. I think we're going to see the 4-2-3-1. So I actually had Matic in for Pereira in this, but I decided to, you know what, switch it around. Let's be a little more attacking minded.
Hoping to see the 4-3-3, hoping to see us push forward and go for goals and go direct and just go at them, because I could see us easily trying to park the bus a little bit, borrowing something from Mourinho's tactics.
Booking the bookies, sir. Arsenal, if you believe it, +214 at Old Trafford. Manchester United, +135, and the draw, +257. If I had to bet, if there was a gun to my head, I would probably put it on the draw. That seems like the best odds. Arsenal, +214. That's, you're looking at that West Ham bet. We're West Ham away. We were favored. I mean, like, West Ham beat us 2-0. How is Arsenal coming in here and going to get +214?
Hard to say.
Again, I don't want to be negative about Manchester United, but in the form we are in, confidence is low. We always talk about optimistic, hey, we get to see the kids, yada, yada, yada. But if you're in that dressing room and you went to penalties with the Dale How's Pogba doing? Is he like, is he celebrating that win in the locker room? Is Pogba like, yeah, boys, we did it? Is Lingard really pumped about that? I saw Dan James with a serious fist pump after the goal. I know it means a lot to him, but it seems to me he's the exception, not the rule in the dressing room.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think some of those players are pretty pumped up for the performance. I know Tuan Zebe was. I'm sure Greenwood was pumped about his goal. So it's a mixed bag. I don't know Jesse Lingard. I don't know what's going on with Paul Pogba in his head, but I'd like to think that he's going to get up for Arsenal. That's as big as a game as it gets. Huge rival for us, and we need all 3 points, bro. We're fighting for top four, fighting for our lives, and every game matters, especially at home when you should have the advantage. We got Aaron Maguire in the back, bro. It should be, you know, should be defense. Start from the back with a strong defense and build it from there.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the fresh haircut. You got to put the header in. You got to put the header in, sir.
He's due for one. He's due for one against the Gunners, sir.
He didn't win a title. He almost won a title.
Almost won a title, mate.
Oh, that's going to be playing all season. Score prediction. What do you got?
Sir, I'm calling 1-0. It's going to be a nervy game. Late winner from Mason Greenwood. He keeps the miracle start alive, a la Marcus Rashford, and I think he scores against the Gunners.
I'm going to say 3-1-2 United, sir, will win handily. It'll be an exciting match, back and forth. I think maybe Arsenal will get one. We throw the kitchen sink at them and hit them for three. Either way, Old Trafford will be rocking, and the fan cams will not be so sad. Jumping in, United in the news. Big news here. I think this is good news. Manchester United draw Chelsea in the fourth round of the Carabao Cup at Stamford Bridge. Nothing better than beating Chelsea in their house, right?
Hey, they're going to be out for blood after what we did to them at the start of the season. I know the fans that we saw at Mad Dog of the Fog were not too thrilled. I'm sure they want us to show up for the Carabao Cup matchup coming up in the coming weeks.
Unfortunately, it's midweek, so we will not be able to go to Mad Dog in the Fog and sing our hearts out and make fun of those Chelsea fans. Hello, hello, hello. Chelsea successes.
Fucking hollow. They'll finally figure out who Aaron Maguire is, sir. That fucking head is massive, mate.
This fucking head is massive. All right, next article. Erling Haaland praises Ole Gunnar Solskjaer amid Manchester United rumors. Red Bull Salzburg striker Erling Haaland has praised Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer amid rumors linking him with the Old Trafford Giants. The 19-year-old previously played under Solskjaer at Molde. And he has praised his fellow Norwegian for playing a role in his fledgling career per TV2. Quote, "He's had a huge impact on my life, both as a person and as a trainer. He won the Champions League and was an incredibly good player. He has taught me a lot." And Erling has scored 17 goals in 9 games.
His first hat trick in the Champions League, and the player is just on fire. One of the hottest rated strikers in Europe and someone that we've been attached to recently based on the relationship. The fact that we need a striker and that he's had a previous relationship with Solskjaer at Molde. so I think this is someone that we should go after, you know, as we invest in youth, keep that trainer running, get another good striker in that we could have scoring in goals next to Mason Greenwood. Why not?
Yeah, I think this is more of like a summer buy to sell him midseason. That'd be a lot for Red Bull Salzburg. You know, I think the January buy is going to be kind of like a Callum Wilson, you know, 40 million, someone who's just like, all right,
40 million,
some older player. Yeah, that's going to be, right. You know, he's just like, you know, someone that we can just like play. We need bodies. Like we said, we need bodies. Next article, Peter Kenyon says Manchester United are paying the price for replacing Jose Mourinho with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. This was per the Express. Quote, "I was the first to express my disappointment when Jose left Manchester United because I think he could have been a part of a great leadership structure. The key is to give him the adequate structure and organization to make sure he's a part of everything. No one better than him know what United represents. Jose is far from being an irrelevant, outdated manager." So a strong endorsement from Mourinho. I'm going to say, look, I would agree on a lot of those points, but it was really the marriage between the board and Mourinho's ways of kind of airing out the dirty laundry in the press that kind of cost him. But at the end of the day, you look at this team and you look at how we're doing and you look at Paul P, and he still might be a cancer at the end of the day that leaves this club. So was Mourinho necessarily wrong to fight with them about it?
Yeah, but I think there were a lot more issues around Mourinho, his negativity in the press, the way he would slay players publicly. It was all just like quite a bit too much for Manchester United fans and the club overall. It's just
he wanted the central defender. They gave him they bought it, that central defender.
A year late.
And then if they bought him when Mourinho wanted him, it would have been 10 million cheaper. It was 70 then. And then they balked at it. So it's one of those things where why have Mourinho if you're not going to give him the players, right? At the end of the day, it's the board. It's Woodward.
Why have Ole if you're not going to get him players? Why have any manager if you're not going to back him in the summer?
Ole's the manager who's trying to, the board and him and their philosophies are probably linked, which is like, hey, look, we're not going to spend a lot of money now. We're going to get young players built over time, give you 3 years to kind of develop the system. With Mourinho, it's kind of like a chop shop. Go spend $300 for two transfer windows and try to amass a team for a title. So if you're going to put Mourinho into the team and not give him defenders when he wants defenders, like that's on Woodward, in my opinion. Like they should have given him a little more, and that's kind of when the relationship soured. I'm going to say he did say a lot of bad things, but if you look at how he's been punted on Sky Sports, you look at his reaction to United, he looks kind of like it was a tough breakup for him. Like that one hurt. It looks like he legitimately cared about the club and wish it worked out.
£90 million, bro, make it a lot easier. I'll tell you that.
He looks pretty bang. If you look at his reaction, his comments about the team, he said, "I wish I would have had a central defender." When they talk about Harry Maguire, and then he said Lindelof is weak in the air, and then they cut to a highlight of Lindelof and Maguire warming up, and Lindelof misses a header.
They really.
You can't write this stuff.
Well, I mean, last season could have played totally different if Mourinho had gotten Aaron Maguire when he wanted him. But hey, here but we are with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We wouldn't have had Ole's at the wheel. Peak Ole's at the wheel wouldn't have been a completely different experience when we got the chance to go to England last year, sir. So
no, he should have been fired. The relationship soured, the fans, everything, the way he played, the way he forced his way onto everyone. He didn't focus on youth. He fought with Paul Pogba. I mean, at the end of the day, he made his bed, but I'm going to say it could have gone better. And I do think at the end of the day, Paul Pogba's true colors will be shown. That card will be flipped over, and getting rid of him under Mourinho might have been, you know, the right call. If Paul Pogba signs a new deal and then he goes gangbusters for the next 5 years for Manchester United, call me completely wrong.
I'm not holding my breath.
Or he can go to Real Madrid and leave, and we should have been like, all right, well, maybe we should have just gotten rid of him when him and Mourinho were feuding. You never know. Controversial stuff. I know fans have different takes. We are talking about the ex-manager here, so it's always sensitive when you talk about ex-managers like Louis van Gaal.
Especially Mourinho.
Especially now, David Moyes, right?
He's in the Paddy Power commercials now, just being very cheeky. He has a second place.
Dude, I wish it worked out.
Second place finish in a frame.
I like Mourinho because there's a certain hatred for him that world football has, and there's a certain hatred for Manchester United that world football has. So if he was able to win more at United,
that's a great combo.
It would have been a great combination to stick it to every other fan, including Chelsea fans as well, because he was there. Manager. Next bit of news, sir. Manchester United announced club record revenue for 2018-2019 per Sky Sports. And we're going to jump into this later. I haven't had a chance to go through the 20F filing, but Woodward announced and said that Manchester United will continue to make the necessary investments to return the team back to the top of English football. You know, just Wall Street spin. And United announced club record revenue of £627 million. Sir, that's quite a bit of pounds. For the year ending June 30th, 2019, up 6.3% from 12 months ago, despite Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side performing poorly on the pitch. Their commercial, I think the merchandise revenue did go down, so I think there's been less shirts being bought, but obviously the commercial sponsorship side was up. Speaking to club investors, Woodward said, quote, "Returning to the roots of our club, ethos of youth-led attacking football is the right way forward, and everyone at the club, the board, the manager, the squad and all the staff remain resolute in our desire to get Manchester United back to the top of English football."
Say exactly what you want to hear, sir. All the sound bites. Exactly. All the sound bites for Wall Street.
Yes. And apparently the club have told certain people in the press that they are targeting to challenge for the title in 21-22. So they do realize, at least they're trying to spin the narrative.
Wait, 21-22?
Yeah. They're spinning the narrative that it's going to take, you know, 4 to 6 transfer windows. It's going to take time for us to be competitive with the likes of Manchester City and the Scouse Bastards, which is sad. But if you look at it, I would actually argue it's even longer than that. I would argue that it's longer than that.
If you're spending net £70 million a summer, it's going to take a whole lot longer than that to catch up.
For me, it was, when Sir Alex Ferguson retired, I said, look, if United can win the title within 10 years of him leaving, that's a win. Because realistically, if you look at just how sports franchises, teams work, this turnover, for example, Bill Belichick, he retires from the past. When's the next Super Bowl they're going to win? Probably more than 10 years. You know, somebody like Sir Alex, who's there for that long, you know, once he leaves, it really goes away. I mean, we saw just, doop, you're done. Like, the team just fell apart, brought in people, couldn't manage it, couldn't even patch it together. We're here 6-7 years later on our fourth manager, and, you know, it's tough.
It's not happening within 10 years. There's no way about that. It's not happening by 23, I don't think. There's a chance. Everyone's gotten so much better, unless we change ownership.
Unless
someone comes in and starts spending real cash, $300 million a summer,
we can catch up. You could buy, like, someone would sell you a bet that would pay, like, 10-1, I bet. Manchester United to win the title in the next, you know. Yeah, it's tough.
I wouldn't take that bet.
22-23, that's basically.
I still don't think we'll be good by then.
You get four chances. You don't think we're going to win it.
Like, I mean, under this current ownership. Dude, we were second under
Mourinho. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but everybody keeps getting better, and we haven't gotten that much better.
Yeah, I think there's still another churn of the squad. Like, Pogba's going to leave, got to replace him. Still need to replace Herrera. Still need to replace Lukaku. Then we're going to have to replace the replacements who don't turn out well, right? I always say every player you buy half turn good for you, right? So we were lucky this last window, and Mourinho did compliment that they did get the business right. He said, look, Maguire, great player, Wan-Bissaka, great player, and James. If you look at that business, I mean, that's batting 100 right now, if you think about it. That's like, could have been worse.
Yeah, we needed six. We got three, we needed six.
Yeah, and we could have got a Llorente who'd be shit, and we still have three good and one shit. We saved that $20
million. Manzukic, bro, get him out. He's a player.
All right, fan questions. We have a few doozies here. At Heath Mauger on Twitter, quote, Pogba costs more than their entire club, referring to the Dale, and we needed penalties to beat them, The Glazers and Woodward have made us an absolute joke, sir. Your thoughts?
Hey, it's hard to argue against that stat. Pogba probably didn't have his best performance, but Lots of blame to go around the Glazers at Woodward. Where else the points are? I don't know. I mean, I'm sick of doing the same siren song ever over and over about the Woodward and the Glazers. But at the end of the day, we haven't invested in the squad properly, and that comes down to those people.
Hey, we've sold a bunch saving of saving that money shirts, themselves. Glazers out shirts, Glazers
moving,
out
like
scarves,
hotcakes, bro. It's moving.
In light of the annual filing and record revenues of Manchester United, we decided to do Glazers out sale. That's right, get it now. Scarves $9.99, shirts $15. We cut the price. We want everyone to protest this ownership, as this is going to continue to be a theme at Manchester United, and we have to demand that they spend big. They're making tons of money, and we need players. We need bodies in, sir. Hashtag Glazers out. www.AmericanRedDevils. Click on our store. You can check it out. I've also tweeted out a bunch of photos. Thank you for everyone who shared their recent purchases online. That's amazing. We love tweeting that out and getting that feedback from you guys. Next tweet at T Zolski on Twitter. The quote, the midfield is a disaster. Greenwood, James, Twanzabi, bright spots. Lingard needs to have a permanent spot on the bench. Ed Woodward is nuts to think he is on his way to working this out. We need a director of football. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Woodward out. Seeing a theme.
Sir, where's that DOF, bro? I mean, we heard about it a year ago. We heard about 2 years ago. I don't think it's ever happening under Ed Woodward. As long as he's in charge of this club, he's not going to give up the reins to anybody other than himself. You know, he's the only one he trusts with his piggy bank.
Power corrupts, absolutely, sir. Next tweet at Get Extra Sauce on Twitter. Get spelled GWIT. Quit Extra Sauce on Twitter. I try my best with these Twitter handles, sir. It's not too easy here.
You're doing well, sir.
It's so awesome that we have a backup like Romero, best backup in the league. Save that penalty. Got us through. I mean, we were all talking about Daniel James finishing, but that Romero save, and he pounded the ground. Looked like it meant a lot to him. I like how he can play this part and really step up to the plate. He has shown us. I remember we won Europa League. He was keeper there. He's done a great job and proven that he's a great backup.
It's good to be given more opportunities. He's a big time player when he's needed to be stepped up upon. So good for him. Another good performance. You think he's going to get the nod when we play Chelsea in the Carabao Cup?
Sir, he's our cup keeper.
There you go.
Cup keeper Romero. Keep that beard. Him and Rojo should go for some extra bad tattoos after this. Next tweet at Marco Nunez 408 on Twitter. Quote, if one or two of those shots go in, I don't think people are having such a debate. We dominated the game. We just couldn't finish. The team is under tremendous pressure. A win is a win. On to Arsenal. There you go. The sanity arrives in the Twitterverse.
Pressure is the nature of the game, unfortunately. But I have to admit, but it's the same issue, sir. Us not finishing our chances, us not being clinical enough, us not putting a team to the death and actually just finishing them off when you have the opportunity to do so. Teams like Rochdale maybe not punish you, but an Arsenal will.
Yeah, we also need more time for attacking players to gel together as well. Like, that's something when you put in all these youth kids playing with Pogba, you know, it's like you have to be on the same wavelength to a certain extent. When you look at City, they all know kind of which way, what the attacking players like, where they want the ball, and that's something that's been worked out over time. I just think at game pace, it's going to take some time for Paul P to know where Chong wants it, know how Greenwood plays, etc. So that's also something that we're going to have to give the lads time. I think all you're going to hear us say on this podcast this entire season is give the lads time, sir. This is a rebuilding year. I mean, we're going to figure out who should stay, who should go, who do we need in. And it's really going to be a long process. Like they said, 21-22, sir. We can't expect to compete for the league for a while. You know, we just have to sit here.
I'll mark my calendar, sir. I can't wait till we compete that year.
Hey, this podcast ain't going anywhere. I will be there when we're competing for the league, and it will be glorious.
It might not be 21-22, but one day we will return to the top.
One day, yeah. The real question is, how old will my son be before he sees his first title for Manchester United?
Yeah, he'll be drinking beers.
Yeah.
Drinking dark ales with us, bro.
He'll be very young. I think he's going to be very young.
I hope so.
Next tweet. At JC Wilson 1993, quote, I think we need to invest in some players that can score honestly, but I love that Ole is playing the young guys in these matches to gain experience. The future is bright, I believe, in MUFC. Love this tweet at JC Wilson 1993. Sir, how do you feel about that? I gotta agree.
I like positivity. Positivity when it's on the menu is always a good thing. So,
but who's beat up about Carabao Cup, first of all, for the record? It's not great, but fans just jump on anything to like hate the manager.
I mean, the West Ham loss is worse than Rochdale.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
I mean, losing 2-0 to it and then putting on Jesse Lingard as our striker.
Oh, waking up at 5:30 and then watching that at 6 a.m. That
was
adds rough. To it.
That was a bad day.
That was a bad day at the office. Because it's mentality, sir. Dan James has the mentality. It's like when we talk about transfers, we talk about the intangibility. It's like Dan James, where'd this kid get this idea that he can come on the pitch and affect the game as much as he can? But it's his confidence, his belief, and his ability. And sometimes when you see Marcus Rashford against Villa just like getting frustrated, wearing his emotions on his sleeve, and it's like, I don't see Dan James ever doing that. You know, I see him like aggressive, making an impact. You get knocked down, get back up. It's what it's about. That's the Manchester United way. It's just you have these prima donnas like Lingard and the squad and, you know, Pogba to a certain extent. It's like, do they have the work rate? Do they have the attitude? It's just kind of like you see the body language with Paul P. You know, it didn't look good in the Dale game, right? It's like these are intangible factors where if you're going to be a leader on the pitch, you can't let it. Like, did Roy Keane really? He'd get a red card if we were losing. He'd just like take it out on somebody. I mean, that's one way. I'd rather see Pogba get a red card and get sent off than, you know, mope around the pitch. It's kind of one of those, it's something we can't have.
The passion distribution is not equal between all the players. Exactly. Put it that way. It's some of them are showing it every game week in, week out. And some of them just look like they couldn't be arsed to be there.
Yeah, but it's encouraging when you see a player like Dan James, that fresh breath of air coming in the side and like, that fist pump when he scored that penalty. If you don't remember it, watch the replay. You can see how much it means to him. And look, he has a great future at Manchester United. Future captain, sir. I mean, he looks like the next young Giggs. I don't know. He doesn't have a wife yet. Can't cheat on her with his brother, but you know.
Hell of a player. Hey, sir, you can emulate him. Number 11 for many years to come. Tearing you apart since 99, sir, like they say.
That's why I'm a Scholes guy. You know, Scholes, you know, he has gambling issues, not quite the Shag and the brothers.
Everyone's got their issues, sir. Everyone.
Honestly, like Giggs would be higher on my chart of like Manchester United players if not for the personal
I think
issues.
He'd be higher on a lot of people's charts.
He's kind of hanging around the hoop.
Hey, you want to hire me?
Hey, not bad. Housekeeping on that note, sir. We're wrapping up this podcast. Had a blast. Hell of a day. It's muggy here in the podcast bunker.
Sweating.
We need to get a fan or something, sir. Maybe an AC unit. But look, we love doing this podcast. I've been seeing you a lot lately with all these matches, tight turnarounds and everything. It's just, we have a blast. It's about this team. You guys are the best fans in the entire world, Manchester United fans worldwide, and the American Red Devils especially. We feel the love. We just want to say thank you for subscribing and listening to us. That's why we're doing it, really. We started this podcast on a whim, and we say, look, if people want to listen, we will do it. We're trying to get your point of views out there. We retweet you out if you have anything to say. We're open to feedback as well. Hit us up on Twitter or email americanreddevils@gmail.com. You can email us. Email us. Tell us you don't like a certain segment. Tell us you like a segment. Whatever you want, we are here. We answer and read everything. We don't got no staff working for us. And to that end, we don't have any ads. So everything we say is not influenced. It's completely made up by us. I don't even think that's a compliment, sir. But we do know our stuff. We've been following the team for 15 years. So we probably get some names wrong and some stats wrong, but we do try our best.
It all comes
week
from the
in,
best.
Week out.
It all comes from a good place, you know.
And look, the best way you can support it is buy some of our American Red Devils merchandise. We took, on a whim, we decided to order a bunch of scarves, shirts, and pins, and stickers. And the best way you can support us is just buy that. We said, hey, why sell ads when we can just create cool merch? awesome photos you've been tweeting us out. The Glazers Out scarf looks great. When I love that. I mean, I have one myself, but seeing everyone else hold it up, the Love United, Hate Glazer.
It's awesome.
Absolutely love the green and gold. And I'm glad the American Red Devils are getting behind it. Like we said, it's on sale. So you want to buy something, AmericanRedDevils.com, click on store. And if you don't have the $10, don't worry about it. Drop us a review on iTunes. That's the next best way to help us. Or you can just share us on social media. Look, this is our dream. We want to podcast about the team we love, talk smack, have some banter in the hot bunker, sir. That's what life's about.
Hot bunker, hot baits. But we just appreciate all the fans bringing you the best content we can on a weekend, week out basis. We wish the boys would step up the performance a little bit. The 0-2 loss at West Ham, those are hard to break down. But hey, it's all coming from a good place. And it's all about bringing you the best news on the best team in the world, and that's Manchester United, sir. But hey, we had a big week for downloads, and we had a new top city.
Kick
sir.
Kick us off, sir. Give us our top cities last 7 days for downloads.
Sir, new one. Never heard of you before, but welcome aboard. Fleming Island, Florida. How you doing? Number 2, New York. And number 3, Dallas, Texas. How you doing? Keep it going, sir.
Number 4, St. Louis, Missouri. Number 5, San Francisco, California. Bay Area. Number 6, Dorchester. Massachusetts, sir. Finish this up.
Number 7, Hotlanta, Georgia. Number 8, Los Angeles, California. Number 9, Austin, Texas. And last but not least, Chicago, Illinois.
Chirac.
Appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate all the listens. I think things are going to get better, sir. We got to go slow and low and slow. Not put too much pressure on Ole because he knows the pressure is on and we have to just keep performing. And it starts with a big win. Look, at home against the Gunners. Let's go. 4-0. Why not?
No, it's like, let's keep if you know a Manchester United fan who has a bad attitude and is really worried about the team, you got to reach out to him. You got to tell him, hey, look, we got rid of a lot of players. We're in transition. The sky is not falling. That's the one thing for Manchester United fans. This fickle nature, like you said, you made a great comment, the 24-hour media cycle, the fan cams, the YouTubes. I mean, I want to say that we're like a sane voice in the podcast realm because we're not so negative. You have to think about our team as like, what are the bright spots? What are the downsides? And it's like, yeah, we have some young players. But that's what we wanted to see. Mourinho, we got rid of him. We wanted to play youth. Now we're seeing youth. Okay, youth needs some time. The attacking system needs some time, chemistry, et cetera. So look, it's going to be a long road. I don't think the board are going to sack Ole anytime soon, which is great news. That way we get to sing Ole's at the wheel plenty of times. Bournemouth away. I mean, I can't wait to see this team, sir. And you know what? It's always darkest before the dawn. And as a fan, you always got to step up the biggest when the times are the toughest for Manchester United. And I'll let everyone make fun of us as much. The Chelsea fans, the Scouse bastards, everyone can make fun of us. Liverpool fans making fun of us haven't won a title in 30 years. I mean, like, how hysterical is that? It's like, what are you even talking about?
You have to be a Scouser. I mean, once you're a Scouser, you can't wash yourself off of that forever. So being a Manchester United fan, even though we are at doldrums these days, we're still the greatest club in all of English football, all the history, all the titles. Let's not forget that because things, and they might get a little darker before they get light, but things will eventually turn around.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And we're going to have a big party out here in the Bay Area whenever Manchester United win that title.
Drinking beers with our kids, bro. They'll be that old.
We're lighting fireworks off out of your backyard, sir. Causing a racket. All right, we're going back to our roots here on the podcast. Sir, kicking a blue.